Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us to be here with you live each and every Thursday. And I want to thank LA Talk Radio for playing us on different days of the week. But remember, you can only talk to us live on Thursday evening. You can, however, listen to every one of our shows since the beginning of time to now on latalkradio.com. Tonight, we have a very special guest. I'm going to ask my switchboard to get in touch with her right now. And I'm going to say, hey, Dr. Pat Allen, you're live on the air.
Good. What am I doing?
Well, we're going to talk to the lovely Patricia Altage this evening. She's our very special guest. And our Sam at the switchboard is going to get her for us. Until then, after we have Patricia, we'll be taking calls. So we're going to tell them 323-203-0815 is the number to reach us. Patricia Altage, welcome to the show.
How are you? Nice. Thank you. It's great to be here with you again.
So glad you're here, Dr. Pat. Patricia.
Yes, we are here.
Good. How did you ever become a dream reader?
Oh, well, let's see. After all my studies and having a natural healing practice with my former partner, since the 80s and being involved in the natural healing world for many, many years, I branched off into the psychology end of well-being. So that led me to Dr. Pat Allen, you, and the Want Institute and transactional analysis. I am now a transactional analysis practitioner, and I got deeper into the dream section. And that was because, as I talk about in my book, The Dream Class, I suffered from what we then called nightmares as a child and really wanted to understand what that was all about. So it turns out it was really my PTSD from being kidnapped and molested when I was a child. And now one of my specialties is really, besides being an all-around dream analyst and a very good transactional analyst, I correlate the dream world with the waking life and also how that pertains to all your relationships, whether it be your romantic relationships, your work relationships, and every aspect of your life. So it all correlates because it's really coming from your subconscious mind, bubbling through to your conscious mind, and then your behavior and your attitudes. So here we are talking about dreams.
What are dreams for?
Dreams, oh, they're like messages in a bottle that came across the sea, and they are written in another language that need to be translated because they come in terms of symbols. And the symbols are tricky because they come in the form of people, nature, and things in that hierarchy. So when you are dreaming of things, you're at the bottom of the hierarchy. So you're not so close
what
to getting the message.
Wait a minute. What does it mean to be at the bottom of that dream?
Well, the bottom of that hierarchy of people, nature, and things, it means it's not ready, quite ready for you to get the message, but it is starting to bubble up. And then it comes up to a nature. Things would be a table, a car, objects. But then the next level towards consciousness is nature. Nature can be trees, bodies of water, landscape, things like that, the beach, the mountains, etc. and animals. So you're, it's now when those come into your dreams, you are getting even closer to getting the message. You're starting to be ready to hear this message or to understand this message. And then when you start dreaming and when people show up in your dreams, then you are ready. You are really ready to hear the message and understand the message. You are most ready then, because that's at the top of the hierarchy. So
when you dream of people, are they you or are they themselves? What do people represent?
Yes. People and everything in your dreams represents an aspect of yourself. So we start looking at different aspects of our own self, of our character, our personalities, our behaviors. So when somebody comes into your dream, it's not about that person, but we start to ask ourselves, what is the main character type of that person that I can relate to, that maybe this dream is trying to get me to look at that aspect of myself, and how I am, what behaviors or attitudes am I displaying in my waking life? Because our dreams are actually, we connect the dots from what's going on in our dreams, which is our subconscious mind, to our waking life. And that way we can get a jump on our personal growth and transformation so much faster than if you just trot along without understanding your dreams.
So you mentioned nightmares. Why are there nightmares? They're so scary, killing people and things.
Well,
are nightmares really evil?
No, as I quote you in the book, Pat, by saying there are no bad dreams, just sometimes scary images. Those scary images are like an exclamation point. So they are dramatic images so that we pay attention and say, this needs to be addressed emphatically. So once you get that message, that emphatic message, pay attention to me. You, if you're courageous and you talk with someone like me or you, you talk to someone about what these scary images are representing. And I deal with a lot of people with, didn't even know they had PTSD. They have PTSD from almost anything that it's been carrying, following them, shadowing them for their whole lives. And now they're ready to address it. So it's really a beautiful thing to get the message in the bottle translated. And let's start working on our personal growth and transformation, and to heal ourselves from within, from the bottom of our subconscious mind, so that we can flourish in our lives.
I want to ask you a teacher's question, and you as a student, what is the most creative thing I've taught you in the dream world?
Oh, well, this is, you and I worked on this for many, many years and working it out so that we could teach it to other therapists. And as we have, and as I have, I've taught other therapists this work on the transactional analysis conventions. And this style of work really makes it easy to understand the yin and the yang, which is the masculine, the feminine is the yin and the yang is the masculine, and how the dreams come to us in a paradoxical symbol. So besides the hierarchy of the symbols, there's also everything and everyone in your dreams has a masculine or a feminine energy. And that's why
how
we know.
How can you tell?
We can tell. Well, that there's a skill to it, but yes, there are basically when men show up in your dreams, that is talking about your feelings, which is the yin. So here's where the paradox.
But that doesn't
comes in.
Make sense. It seems
it
like men would
sense.
Represent thinking and doing.
Yes, well, that would be, then if a female shows up in your dream, that would be thinking and doing. There's where the paradox comes in. So because of the way our brains work and our energy.
You did a great job of explaining it.
Oh, thank you. Well, the energies of the soul of a man is feminine, but the soul of a woman is masculine. So that's how the paradox is explained.
What is the soul of the man and woman called, please?
Well, in Jungian terms, it's called the soul of a man is the anima, which is the feminine, and the soul of a woman is the animus, which is masculine, doing, thinking, performing. Whereas the man, if a male figure is in the dream, then that is the yin, which is feeling centeredness. So we're talking
good.
About our
I'm
feelings
going to
when
ask
we're dreaming
you,
of a man.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you what clients ask me when I'm doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They say they don't dream. They can't remember their dreams. Why?
Yes, a lot of many people say they don't dream. In fact, they do dream. They have to be taught how to dream. And we teach that in Chapter 7 of the dream class. And there's a technique, and I will give you a takeaway. I'll give you all who are listening today, tonight, and that is the takeaway is when you go to sleep tonight, keep a pad and pen by your bed and tell yourself, I'm going to remember my dream. And then upon waking, you don't open your eyes. You keep your eyes closed for this 3 to 4 minute, very precious segment of consciousness called the Lyman state. And you will see something. There will be at least one image there. And that's the beginning of learning to remember your dreams. And then they start exploding. You practice learning the cello, going to yoga, taking golf lessons. It's like anything else. It's a practice.
How
and it's
can
worth it.
People get in touch with you? They can buy your book.
Yes.
How can
the dream class
use you?
They can get a hold of me through my my website is thedreamclass.com and my email is patricia@thedreamclass.com. And I take privates. I also teach groups. When people want to create their own group, Pat, I've worked with people who do have their churches or temples or a book club. I'm for hire. As you have always said, Pat, you're for hire. I'm for hire. So I'm easy to get a hold of. Excuse me. And those are the methods to find me.
I want you to know you did a beautiful job of explaining what you and I have worked on.
We have, and I have really adored the times we've spent together at the retreat, and I felt very honored of you having me co-chair the dream sections and part of the weekend retreats over the years, and it was a special time for us, Pat.
And I'm honored to have you as my one of my protégés.
And I appreciate being your protégé, and I will do my best to carry your message onwards.
Thank you so much, Patricia.
And thank you for being. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank
you
so much,
time.
Patricia. Always a pleasure to have you with us.
The Dream Class by Patricia Elton. Okay.
That's right. Dream Class by Patricia Elton. You can find it on Amazon. It is a beautiful book. Her website, The Dream Class, and I can't say enough about how lovely her book is and what a lovely person she is. Thank you, Patricia, for being with us. So glad to
Thank
have had you.
Okay, bye-bye. I'm glad you're all there. Bye.
Okay, so I imagine we've got some calls lined up, but I'm having trouble communicating with our switchboard tonight, so we're just going to have to play it by ear. And that's what we'll do. So we're going to wait for a call. I'm going to tell everybody, get on our waiting list for our groups. You can reach out to get on that waiting list at info at drpatallen.com via email to get in the waiting list for one of our groups. Okay, let's see. Sam, I don't know if you can hear me, but if you can, we're ready for calls. Usually Sam and I have a little chat going on, but we're having a hard time getting that chat going tonight.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Pat. Do you have a question?
I do. I actually have two questions, if we have time.
Yes, go for it.
But the first question is regarding my mother. She had a stroke. She's living with me right now, but with everything going back to normal, my son's going to be going back to school. I'm working, and I have to get her into a facility, which I hate to do. I want to know how to tell her, how to make her understand without hurting her feelings. Is there a way?
Yes, my way is to make an appointment with her. Does she know she's sick or is she demented?
She's starting to get dementia now.
All right. Therefore, it isn't she that is there. Her body is there, but she's already leaving.
Right. She's different. Yeah.
I understand that. Your best bet is to very professionally, with somebody helping you maybe, to pack her or move her, and not to expect her to understand. I want you to think of her as a three-year-old little kid.
Wow, okay.
How would you treat your mother as a three-year-old?
Well, you can't explain much. You just have to do what's right.
That's exactly right. And you keep her safe physically. In other words, if her body moves too much and you need somebody, maybe you can rent someone, a nurse or a man, somebody that would protect her from being emotionally and physically unpredictable. In other words, if you're taking care of a three-year-old, you take care of their body first.
Mm-hmm. Keep them safe.
See,
yeah, because by herself, I'm sorry.
You're trying to respect her as an adult human being. It's better if you treat her like a darling three-year-old who's afraid of change.
Okay, that makes sense.
You can't explain. The more you try to explain, the more frightened she's going to get.
Okay. Just tell her exactly this is what's happening and we have a beautiful place for you to go.
You have the place arranged.
Mm-hmm.
You have the vehicle arranged. You do as much as you can outside of her sight.
Okay.
Because she's going to want explanations but won't understand what they are.
Right, she won't understand, and then sometimes she'll forget the next day anyway.
That's exactly right. See, what you need to do is deal with her where she's at.
Okay.
I'm living with my daughter. What?
I just feel guilty, like I'm doing something wrong, you know? But then I can't stay at home.
How old is your mother?
She's 79.
Okay, how old are you?
55.
Okay. You're feeling guilty as if she's normal.
Right.
to treat her as if she's normal are too much expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I live with my daughter now, and I'm going to be 87, and she's in her 60s, and I have a cared for hearing problem, great hearing aids and things, but I need to read lips. So I'm watching my daughter go through the frustration of having to look me in the face when she's speaking, like turning around. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for her to continue to treat me respectfully because she still thinks I'm smarty mom.
Right.
I'm still smart, but my hearing is not good.
Yeah, that was kind of like my brother.
I'm on your mother's half.
Yeah, her personality is different. And my sister passed away.
I know it is.
My sister passed away. She used to try to watch her, and that might have took her too, because of the stress of it, maybe. I don't know. And I have more patience.
It isn't that it takes people. It's stressful. What I'm doing is I want you to treat her like a three-year-old child that you're moving into a new home. And there's no way until she gets there, they're accustomed to dealing with people with this issue. So they will swoop her in and make a home for her.
Okay.
You see?
Okay. Yes.
So okay. I absolve you from all guilt if you treat her like a three-year-old.
Right. Sometimes I try to talk to her like she's not, doesn't have dementia, and then it doesn't go anywhere. And I hate to be on the other side where I'm scolding her, not scolding her, but Mom, what are you doing? You can't do that, or you can't get into that, or,
That's what my daughter is going through with me.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for people to take care of someone that they're used to taking, not care of, but being cared by.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that you get angry, and then that person is dealing with an angry parent. Please have mercy on your three-year-old mother.
Okay.
You do that? I love it when I see my daughter turn her face and use her mouth clearly. I love it. It's like her saying, I love you, Mom, even if you can't hear that well.
Mm-hmm.
What's really scary is when she gets scared, upset, because she's angry at me for growing old, yet she knows that there's nothing she can do about it, neither can I. I have great hearing aids. For God's sake, I'm working. I'm fine.
Yeah, you are great. You're a very smart woman. And
But I'm not the way I used to be when it comes to hearing.
Right. And it's just a change for the family. Mm-hmm.
It's a change for she and I live. She's a widow. I'm a widow. We're doing fine. And when she remembers, I love it when I see her speak clearly to me. It says, I love you, Mom, as a three-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know she knows I'm smart. But my organs are not young.
Right.
So have I given you a message?
Yes. I just want her to know that I can't quit work right now. There's just no way. I mean, I've been thinking about
you
all different ways.
You can't even talk about it. You can't bring your suitcases in front of her. You can't scare her.
Okay.
Keep it simple, sweetheart. Your job is to get her into that home so she can be cared for by people that are totally accustomed to caring for people as they age.
Okay. Yes. And I want to reassure her, I'll be there all the time, you know, with her.
She'll get used to your schedule. Just have one and remember to set it so that you're comfortable.
Okay.
All right. Do you have any question? Have I given you the attitude?
Yes. Thank you for that. It's cleared it up. Thank you very much. I have one more question. This is totally different.
What is that? What is that?
It's regarding a man. I've talked to you about him before. Now, when a man says sweet, beautiful things to you in the moment of sex, making love, I would say, but he doesn't say it outside of that. Are those words
That's because he's in his right lobe, not his left lobe. Is this man right-handed or left-handed or ambidextrous?
Right-handed.
He's got a smaller fibrous bridge between the right lobe, which is feelings, and the left lobe, which is thinking and doing. So when a man is engulfed in his passion, I don't think I would take directions to get to the airplane because he's busy feeling. The right lobe talks different than the left lobe. In fact, I'm a transactional analyst, and I like molding people's broca, which is an organ in the left side of your brain that handles language. When a man drinks or uses drugs, he knocks out his left lobe in favor of his right lobe. And he made baby talk.
Okay. Yeah, and he did
remember,
have a drink.
Remember, our brain, what?
And he did have a, we were drinking, you know, like a drink.
When you and then, I, when women drink and use, they knock out their feelings and become very bossy, very head trippy. And the war is on.
Yeah. It's just so complicated because he doesn't say anything outside of that. It's very hard for him to express.
And you want him to. And you want him to.
Right. And then when he
does it. I've got news for you. I do not want you to want more, better, different love, affection, time, or sex. I want those to be created by him and appreciated by you unless you say they're not compatible with your long-term goals. Is this man 51% valuable to you or not?
He is.
Then I strongly recommend that you appreciate anything you like and tell him so at the time. Oh, that feels so good.
Should I
could I ask him if he means those words, or is that being manly?
No, dear, you can't. You can do that if while you're having an orgasm, you can explain a recipe.
Yeah.
Do you understand that every woman, right, left-handed, has a bigger corpus callosum? We can mix our thoughts and feelings and speak from both sides of our brain, which drives right-handed men crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because
if they're still sober,
they want to understand what you're saying, but you don't make sense. So please don't teach a man how to love you. You can't teach feelings. You can express them. The only thing that modifies feelings are drugs. That's why you go to the doctor. Meds, drugs, violent things when they're totally under the control of their feelings.
Okay.
So do you want to be respected by him, or do you want to be cherished by him? What's your goal?
I would love to be cherished, but I think the roles have changed a little bit. And he spoke to me about how men have changed in the world, you know, how they used to.
Honey, it isn't men that have changed. Women have wanted to become free, to be prosperous. When women go male, men go female. Do you know men are now marrying and being housewives, babysitters, now that they've gotten off their male pride? Do you know that in Kenya, the men have gathered in a group, some men, and are suing women's libbers for stealing their rights to be respected as men?
Wow.
Now, I just want you to know, everybody wants to be respected and cherished, but you can't have it equally, because do you want to be cherished first, respected second, or do you want to be respected first and cherished second?
I want to be cherished, and I want to get married, and I think where he knows he's not all the way into being married, so I think it scares him, and maybe that's why he never says anything.
Marriage is not built for men. If men could have their way, they would be continuing to receive sex, housing, food from women that believed mothering is good for everybody. Mothering is masculine.
Yeah. And I think he tests me sometimes. He'll say, okay, I'll text you, or I'll call you. And sometimes I feel like he's putting me under a test, because he won't call me or text me until he's ready to. And then if sometimes I break and I'll text him, hey, I haven't heard from you, so what's going on? Or, you know, and then that's probably me being masculine, right?
That's him testing you for your ability to be cherished. Men cannot cherish a woman. Men, not boys, or not feminine men. Feminine men, you know, want to be cherished. And narcissists want both feminine cherishing and masculine respect. And whoever's with them has got to be a doormat.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think he might be a narcissist, but I'm not sure.
I got news for you, and sometimes he thinks you might be one too.
Yeah, I think so.
In this phone call, this one right now, you said, well, he talks so romantically when he's having sex or making love to me. I want him to do it when he's sitting there in the newspaper and watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
You can do better with a left-handed man, an ambidextrous man, a biologically gay man who's still partially in his female body, because every fetus is female for at least 8 days when mom's pregnant with them. And then she produces a gene, SRY, that helps the girl and she to mold the body into a boy's body as best they can. But they don't always get it done. And that man is going to be physically a transgendered human being.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the laws of nature far outrank anybody. So I'm telling you, when you're with a man, do not have intercourse with him until you know him enough to know if he's a career man or a man with a career. Does he want to be respected first, cherished second? And if you're making mad love with him, you're enjoying the sex and not learning who he is.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably what happened. Yes.
So do you want to practice? Have you read my book, Getting to I Do?
I did. I need to read it again, but I did get through it. Mm-hmm.
And okay. My last one is a summary, and it's called It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. They're in charge of things, and we're in charge of oxygen. Oxygen. What's oxygen for? Breathing and talking.
Mm-hmm.
A woman uses a language of 5,000 words. A man, same deal, 2,500. They don't use all the words we do.
Do you think that's why when he says all these cute, nice things, then I feel like he backs away for a few days and until we meet again, you know, maybe 2 days, he'll kind of back off.
Yes.
Is it because he regrets maybe saying the things he said or?
No, dear, whatever it is, he's doing the most comfortable thing he can. But women today are very narcissistic. Me too, me too, me too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
I just have to be patient.
No, you got to be passive. Let him lead. Patience.
Okay.
And vulnerable to his leadership. Raise your right hand.
Yes.
I promise to respect my boyfriend.
To respect my boyfriend.
Even when I know I'm right.
Even when I know I'm right.
I promise not to compete with his brain.
Not to compete with his brain.
Unless I have to call the police.
Unless I have to call the police.
A doctor.
A doctor.
or a lawyer to sue him.
Or a lawyer to sue him.
That's if you want to be cherished. I have no problem with women wanting to be respected career women first. None.
Well, when we first met, he chased me. And then
I know he did. But once he got you, what changed is that you did it on this phone call. You said, I want him to talk this way when we're doing this. You're literally in his brain, molding his language organ, the broca, and mothering him out of his manhood. Do you understand that?
Yes. And you know, I told him about the ring thing. I said, I need to have a ring so I feel committed and it shows everybody that I am committed to you.
And taken.
And taken.
What did he say?
He just said, oh, really? That's about it.
You know what he knows? He knows you're right. Men marry virtuous women. They do not marry vaginas. Marriage is for women and children. Marriage is a responsibility for men. And when women are men, see, men pray that we won't change after the wedding. Men pray we won't change. We women start to change our men as soon as we get them engaged or married. Now let's take you through it. Do you want to be respected first, cherished second, or the reverse?
I like being cherished.
Do you first. Want to be a career woman or a woman with a career?
A woman with a career.
Then would you please make appointments before you teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him? Would you please respect him?
Yes. Okay. Even though he's old, we're older too. That's just the same kind of respect.
You know what? That just means that he is living on feelings. But if you think hurting his feelings is going to keep him, you're wrong.
Right. Make him jealous, all those, that doesn't work, no.
Darling, you can't do that. That's torturing.
No. Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is you read the book again. I don't hear me in your lesson here today.
I do. I need to read it again. And he gets very jealous. So I have to be careful what
Honey,
I say.
Honey, do you know that jealousy is a good sign? David Buss wrote a book, Dangerous Passions. If a man and a woman are not jealous, they're not in love. Territoriality is a sign of love.
So even when they
you
like
want to get laid
you,
or
like, oh.
Do you want, wait a minute. Do you want to get laid or paid?
Paid.
That means you have to respect him, dear.
Okay.
A man marries when he signs the agreement. A woman marries when a penis goes in her mouth, anus, or vagina.
So even after 4 years, those rules still remain.
Wait a minute. What's 4 years?
Well, we've been together for 4 years.
Well, you're getting more masculine and calling me and I'm chewing you out.
Yeah.
Do you understand? My latest book is called It's a Man's World of Things. and a woman's universe of oxygen. Everything we spoke about here was teaching you to remember that you want to act like a woman, not a man in a woman's body.
Okay. Yeah, I do have to work on that. I do.
Then do it and call back.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, caller. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So, still having chat issues with my Sam at the switchboard. So we're going to hope he is going to get us connected with a new caller. And then we'll be doing that. Remember to go to Dr. Pat Allen's website, www.drpatallen.com, to sign up for our newsletter. Hello, caller, you're live with Dr. Pat. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. And I got vaccinated. And I hope everybody's getting vaccinated.
I'm vaccinated and I'm doing great. Fortunate to be able to get it, so I'm excited. I'm glad you have it too. Dr. Pat, quick question. I reconnected with a gentleman and we've been seeing each other. I am 40, 45, and
wait a minute.
He is 54.
Did you chase him or did he chase you?
We ran into each other because we're friends. We were platonic friends and we weren't just platonic
but
friends
who,
and then we found out we were
who
both
asked for a date? Who?
I asked him, let's get together so we could finish talking. We were reconnecting, and then it ended up turning into a date.
How old are you both?
I'm 45. He's 54.
So he's in his andropause, and you're
correct.
Not. Are you done with your menopause?
No, not yet.
So both of you, he's going on estrogen, and you're still on estrogen. So do you ever get into tugs of war about my feelings?
Nothing. We get along perfectly. We get along with the exception of he does not want to commit. He's not ready to commit. He's recently divorced, but we get along very well. We even have uncomfortable conversations.
Is he willing to be monogamous?
He's not
willing
to be monogamous.
Are you having intercourse with him?
I had intercourse once with him. And it was not planned.
When?
This past weekend.
What did you, did he rape you?
No, it just happened. I went with it, but he was very careful. He wasn't trying to press me. I accepted. I wanted
Where did you drink at that occasion?
No, I did not. It was so random. It was in the middle of the day. I did not drink of all times. I would have thought it could have happened. It happened at the time that I didn't expect it to.
But do you understand he's going to expect it again?
That's where I'm at with it. So
will you please admit you made a mistake?
I made a mistake.
You see, friends with perks is a popular form of dating today.
Mm-hmm.
What did you have with him in the old days?
Oh, platonic friend. He was a mentor.
So you did not have intercourse with him in your first dating experience?
Well, we weren't dating. We were friends, but no, I did not. And that was almost 30 years ago. And he was married.
I understand that, but chemistry is, do you understand you're more masculine now than you were then? And
correct.
He's more feminine. So do you understand that he picked your cherry and probably will be upset if you don't give him back his cherries?
I think so. I think that's going to be the case. Wow.
And are you going to admit it's your responsibility?
To do what?
Allow his body into your body to bond you to him. When women let penises into their mouth, anus, or vagina, we produce oxytocin, the love hormone that bonds us to them and can take up to 2 years to debond.
Correct. Yes.
So will you please admit that you made a mistake when you gave him free intercourse? You can give him a hand job.
I made a mistake.
You can let him go down on you. That's not you letting his penis. But will you admit it?
I do. I admit it.
Do you realize how many men are losing jobs, careers, families over women that say they were molested or harassed, when the truth of the matter is she gave it to him?
Correct. I agree.
Okay, so what is your question, and have I answered it?
So a couple of ways. I mean, I'm noticing that he acts more like a woman. I honestly feel like...
Honey, how old is he?
54.
He is in andropause. His testosterone is going down.
So even during the intercourse afterwards, he kept...
What?
I'm sorry. He kept saying, during intercourse, he kept saying, how do you feel? Are you okay? And he seemed to be more involved or more
feminine.
Emotional about it than I was.
Honey, that's because you're becoming... Look, do you understand you're growing balls?
I do.
Do you understand you're calling a therapist who knows that men over 50 are women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he
and
seems
we
to be
blame them for what we allow. We blame them.
So, and I take responsibility for sleeping with him, and we've talked.
Wait. Do you think I care if you sleep with him?
No, I don't think so.
What do I care about?
If it's consensual, and if
what
I take responsibility.
What do I care about?
If I take responsibility.
A penis going in your mouth, anus, or vagina.
Okay.
That is the only moment that a man and a woman can create a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Correct.
I call it the God moment.
Right.
Now, when a man rapes a woman, I don't care if they kill him.
Yeah. Right.
But when a woman lets a man in her body and then says, he did it to me, that's to me a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So
what
would you
we
please
did was
tell him, I cannot have intercourse with you again unless I'm your monogamous girlfriend. I made a mistake when I let you in my body with your penis.
Okay.
You know, way back in Neanderthal, the era, way back when, 150, 200,000 years ago, more women died of pregnancy, childbirth, because they didn't have the science that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
But the horrible part of this is we're blaming men for what we're allowing them to do.
Yeah. So he says, so tell him I made a mistake and just be like, I don't want that now. And then after that, so another thing I noticed that even prior to dating, he had been married for many years. So he's just been recently divorced a couple of years. Very nice. Everything about him is perfect with the exception of him wanting to commit right now.
Well, then why can't you live without his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina? Can't you give him a hand job? Can't you sleep with him?
So I can spend the night with him and get a hand job and play, but I can't do intercourse, right?
No.
Okay. So let me ask you this. So if I tell him that I made a mistake, and what the parameters will be, I mean, how much longer? Like, he doesn't actively pursue me. Well, let me say this. He doesn't set dates. He's very passive. I noticed that. And I think that's what...
I got news for you. Are you wanting to teach him how to court you?
I feel like I almost have to teach him.
You don't have to teach him. You've got to be lovable. You have to be respecting of him.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. It's no issues with him courting me, but he won't say, I'll say, hey, I want to go here. And he goes, well, when? And then he'll make it happen. But I noticed he's not really an initiator. He's a loner. He's very passive.
Darling,
that's how he's always been.
When he wants to ejaculate in a body rather than a towel,
Okay.
And you will say, thank you for being interested in me, but I do not have casual intercourse because I don't want to fall in love with a non-committable person. So when you're ready to be my boyfriend, let me know.
Okay. And then walk away. Now, can I continue? We have a lot of activities that we do. Can I continue to have activities?
Wait a minute.
Like we play golf together?
Do you recall the three things I'm interested in?
Yes, as long as he doesn't put his in my mouth, vagina, or anus. I could do anything as long as those three don't happen.
Why not? Tell me why not.
Okay.
Do you know why you have difficulty? You gave him free sex. You had never been sexual with him. You gave it to him and you weren't drunk. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now you're having a tough time seeing that penile insertion is the beginning of marriage for a woman.
Got it.
Or it's the wedding night after you've agreed to be married.
Okay. Or
if
a committed monogamous relationship.
That's mating.
Okay.
Mating is the same as marriage without a document.
Correct.
That's why I never said he had to marry you. I said he had to make you his girlfriend monogamously, continuously, with a wedding in sight in a year.
Okay, with a wedding in sight in a year. So now I'm going to go back and tell him I made a mistake, but you know, I still want to continue to see him. Now, if he is upset, because he probably was a tantrum and feels like
he's got 8 weeks to come back because he misses you. He will.
Okay.
Do you know that men marry virtue? They don't marry vaginas.
They marry virtue. Okay. Well, can I come back from this? I guess that's what I can say. Can I clean this up in a sense? And will that, or is it?
Wait a minute. You can't do it. He's got to come and ask you for a date.
Okay.
He's got 8 weeks to date you. Eight weeks to ruminate.
Okay. So when because I noticed when he calls, instead of saying, he'll say, yeah, I love it over there by your house. Like he will allude. He hints. He's not very direct.
I got news for you. You know why?
Why?
Why? Because he knows you made a mistake.
Well, no, even before that, when we were just, you know, still dating and going out.
Darling,
he doesn't...
I hear a man who's afraid to be married in today's world because women are men.
Okay. And his ex-wife was a woman. Was a man. So you're right.
What?
His ex-wife
what?
Was a man. His ex-wife was a man. She was a, I'm not a man.
Of course.
She was masculine.
His,
yeah.
His mother was probably a man too.
Okay. Which is why I've worked on being more feminine. So you feel like he's probably scared to marry
you. But you're having
marry
trouble
you.
Listening to me.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay. So Dr. Pat, give him 8 weeks to ask me for a date. In the meantime, should I not say anything? I'm not going to say anything about the sex.
Date other men. Practice
okay.
being a virtuous woman.
Okay. Okay. And then if he calls me back in 8 weeks, do we go from there?
Yes, absolutely. Go out with him. When he asks for sex, tell him what we said.
Like I made a mistake, but, and okay. Okay, that's good information. Just trying to figure out if I could ever recover from this. It's been, I mean, it happened one time.
Honey, but, I do it all the time.
Okay, so it's not uncommon for this to happen. And people
it's so common that our birth record is going down. We're not making babies because we're not making love. We're having sex, but we're not making love.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. 8 weeks. And if he doesn't call in 8 weeks, do I send a hi-bye letter to him?
Yes, that's exactly right. Good girl.
Now, do I mail it to him or did I read that? Just write it and put it away.
You do it
or
any way
it
you want
to
do it, but write it. You can read it to me on the phone, but you've got to get it captured in some form.
Okay. And then when he gets ready... So what about when you say 8 weeks, it's for a date. It's not does that not include if he texts to see how I'm doing or check on me or anything like that?
It includes any contact.
Any contact. Okay. Now, what about if he asks me to come by his house because he's a loner. He loves to be at his house. Can I go over there or do I have to have stipulations like we have to go to a restaurant or we have to be outside?
No, dear. No, dear. No, dear. I've already given you the law.
Okay. Wait, are you saying no to going to his house?
No, you can go. You can do anything except penile insertion in your mouth, anus, or vagina.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. I feel better.
Welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And if anybody wants to reach out to Dr. Pat with a critique of the hi-bye letter, they can reach out to info@drpatallen.com to set up that special session for hi-bye letters. info@drpatallen.com. So I'm hoping we've got another call, and that's going to come up here in a minute. Until then, if you're looking for our products, you will find them. Hi, caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
Hi. Am
Hi.
I on live right now? Oh, hello.
Yes,
Hi,
you
Pat.
Are right now.
Oh,
hi.
Nice. I know known you for years, and boy, what a journey. I'm 62, and I'm single. I'm divorced from many years ago. My ex-husband passed away. I dated a man who sadly had a massive heart.
You dated him or he dated you?
He dated me. He passed away
Fine,
suddenly.
Then say so, because if you dated him, I have no problems with women being men. I have
no
problems with men being women. But when you said I dated him, I think you called him, you asked him out, and I have no problem with that.
No, it wasn't like that. He dated me, and sadly, he passed away
of a massive heart attack one morning in bed. And that was four years ago. Woo. Yeah, it was a sucker punch and a cowboy boot in my gut. And it threw me off my rhythm for a couple years. And it's been 4 years now. And I'm interested in, I'm lonely a little bit. I mean, I'm a woman with a career. And thankfully, I enjoy what I do.
You are a woman with a career. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you interested in using Bumble or Hinge to chase men?
I've been on there and it just doesn't feel good. And honestly, I feel like I feel terrified. I'm scared. And when I think of you, because sometimes I'll go to the local market and they have eating areas, so I just sit out there and eat my food.
Do you need EMDR for trauma?
Maybe. I heard the...
What city are you in? Where are you?
North San Diego.
Okay. I'm going to give you the international number for the EM, Eye Movement Rapid Desensitization Treatment Center in our country. And they will give you the numbers of therapists in your area that you can interview for this trauma.
Okay.
For God's sake, the man died in bed with you?
Yes.
Well, here you go, because that's big enough. It's the EMDR International Association. Do you want a website? Do you want an email? Do you want a telephone? What do you want?
Phone number.
A phone number?
Yes.
The center is in Austin, Texas, but they'll give you names and numbers where you're at. The telephone number is 512-451-5200.
Okay.
Do you want the email?
No, I'll call the number and go from there and I'll look it up.
It's not a long treatment. It's short, but they work you through the trauma. I don't know how to do it.
Okay.
So I'm just sending you where you can get it done.
Okay, good. Good. I think I need that help.
Okay.
I can't even look a man in the eye.
I understand that, dear. You had a shocking event.
Right.
So what can I do other than what I just did?
Well, earlier... years ago, you had interns in your Newport Beach office that I was able to.
Do you realize I have 10 groups with either 3 or 5 women in it on Zoom? I have clients all over the world.
Okay.
Kelly, have the number for that?
For which thing, Dr. Pat?
What?
The number for what?
The number for the classes for women, Zoom classes.
Yes. You have to reach out to get on the waiting list via email at info@drpatallen.com.
Okay.
All right.
5 years ago, I worked with one of your interns. His name was Bob, and I heard you say Bob Store on your last week's. And
yes.
I cannot remember his last name from years ago.
Store, S-T-H-O-R, Store.
S-T-A-H-R?
Yeah.
Is that the same Bob from years ago?
He's now, listen to what he is. He is now the director in Los Angeles, and he has a private practice, and he teaches soldiers who have been traumatized in the war how to handle it.
I would like his phone number if that's available.
I'm doing it right now. I've got my little magazine, not magazine, my little, you know what I've got. I'm turning the pages and I'll have it immediately. And he is the director of the EMDR program in Los Angeles for men, but he runs, he has private practice as well.
Okay.
And I'm flipping through it right now. Okay. Here we go. So, are you dating at all, or are you so terrified you're not doing anything?
You know, I went on one date, a meet at the beach with a man. We went for a walk. He called me. We went for another walk. He took me out to dinner one night. And you know what? I just...
What?
I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to, like, go further. I just... kind of.
I fully understand, dear.
Mm-hmm.
You need help.
Okay. Well, I remember Bob from years ago. I mean, many years ago. Back in the days with Melba White and Marilyn. So I
here's his number.
Thank you.
S-T-O-H-R. That's how you spell his last name.
Okay.
562.
Yes.
810.
Yes.
1040.
Okay. Awesome. I'm going to reach out to him and to the other
God
members.
Bless you. Oh, you
thank
need
you,
it.
Pat.
You need it.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And
let's get back into life.
Call. Yes. Thank you, dear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
caller.
Thank good you. Luck. Bye-bye. Let us know.
Okay, we'll do. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, so to get in our groups, you have to get on the waiting list, and we've got quite a waiting list. We've got two different kinds of groups. We have a five-lady group and a three-lady group, which we call the elite. So we do have quite a waiting list for that, but you can reach out via email to info@drpatallen.com. Get on that list. Do it as soon as possible because classes fill up fast. Okay. I'm hoping we've got another call coming in. I don't like not being able to communicate with our dash, with our with Sam, but it is what it is for today. So we're just going to go with it. And remind everybody, wantistore.com is where you can find Dr. Allen's books and goodies and DVDs and audio. And if you, oh, here we go. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Brian.
Oh, I'm hoping my phone reception will work. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. You were breaking up a little bit for me. Well, I this woman that I really like, and I was actually telling her something that I think I heard from you first, which was of the idea of making a relationship, the idea that you don't want them to be with somebody else. So that's you know, that didn't you used to say something like that? That's how you know you've got something if you don't like the idea of them dating other people?
That is what I was saying a little bit ago, that David Buss wrote a book called Dangerous Passions, which extols the virtue of jealousy. Because if you're not jealous, you're not territorial. if you're not territorial, you're just a friend with perks.
Yes, and after meeting her and spending some time together, and we had both left it at, you know, we don't live right next door, so it takes some effort to see each other. I'm like, hey, if you meet somebody up there, you know, that's great. I'd certainly be sad, but, you know, I wouldn't stand in your way. But now that we've met, I'm more of the opinion of, okay, I think I can do what you say, which is to, you know, go through the pain to make it work and see if we can see each other at least once a month. We're definitely
right
in contact.
And
we definitely found out that we do have a ton of chemistry. There's no doubt about that.
Whee!
And so far, it has been good. We even had a little misunderstanding about something, but we talked it out and I explained myself better. And she, that's all.
What happened?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Okay, good. So, all right. So then the thing that I'm probably struggling with the most now, since she's not right here, I wouldn't want to ask anybody to be my girlfriend on the phone, definitely not on text. But the idea of duty dating, there's still, you know, some possibilities out there. But now I'm really not that excited of them because I've seen,
but you can
still
duty date. Duty dating is dating people that are not really eligible, but you want to be distracted.
I mean, my goal is to go ahead, please.
I didn't hear the last sentence.
I'm not sure. Now I'm trying to remember what I said. But the idea of dating anybody else right now doesn't seem too interesting.
If you can distract yourself by playing poker with the guys, do it.
Yeah, well, I've definitely got some other things going on, and I think we'll see each other in the next couple of weeks.
Why don't you just plan your once a month visit to each other and carry it from then?
Yeah. There's luckily we're not too far away, so and flights are pretty cheap, and there's some of the people I'm still in contact with, but yeah, I don't see those going much of any place. So
okay.
I'm definitely being more direct and staying in my masculine with her. You've definitely been great at emphasizing that to guys, and I definitely hear that, and she's responded well to it.
Very good. Very, very good. So?
Yeah.
Are we
done? So, I think so. There was something else I was going to ask, but it doesn't really come to mind.
Maybe you can get back in line.
I certainly can. I'm sure there's many people ready to go. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Thank you again, Dr. Pat.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Brian.
Goodbye.
Okay. Always nice to hear from Brian. We hope we'll hear from him soon. He's working things out. Okie dokie. So we got some more calls in our queue, and our switchboard is going to put another one through for us. Very exciting. Again, I want to remind everybody, we have a free video up at www.drpetallen.com, which you can watch free of charge. And I don't know how much longer that's going on. That was our little COVID kick for everybody to have a little something to watch and practice before.
Hello.
We got back to live. Hello, caller. You are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Oh, gosh. My ex got back into contact with me before COVID.
How long had he been away?
13 years.
Woo, that's gone. Go ahead, tell us.
Okay. he actually contacted me before COVID. I just didn't see his message. And so we started having a conversation, and he now lives in a different country. And at the end of the conversation, he was getting ready to open. Well, during our conversation, he was like, come over and see me. But then COVID hit. So then we just kept talking, and he was helping me through some life stuff.
Okay.
And the conversation faded away when he started working on his own business.
Yes, and he was so, distracted.
Yes. And so we have not had a voice
He's a career man.
Yes.
Are you a career woman?
No.
You're a woman with a career or a job?
Yes, I'm actually in the process of applying for disability.
Got it. Got it. Why? What's wrong with you?
Health conditions. So endocrine things, connective tissue.
So you have legitimate disability issues that you're going to the government for money?
Yes. And
fine.
He helped me start that.
That's wonderful. So why are you calling me? It sounds like the beginning of a good friendship leading to a potential.
Well, we haven't spoken on the phone for over a year, and I'm not sure how to approach a hello.
How do you connect? Do you text? How do you communicate?
Well, before he disappeared, he would call me several times a week. And
well, that's calling.
And then I would text him.
That's the most intimate form. What?
Then I would text him, but only when something urgent was coming up, when he stopped calling me.
Okay. So do you want to ask him if he's got a relationship? What do you want?
Well, I would love to see him. I can't travel right now. And I don't know where he is with his business. I don't know how to reopen a conversation.
Where did you go? Have you ever heard me talk about where did you go?
Yes.
Now, you've had no problems with him. We're not talking about him leaving you.
No, I was the one who left him for a few reasons.
Okay, so he left you then.
Oh, okay.
So what about a note that says, or text or something, I haven't heard from you. Where did you go?
Okay.
Because that you're asking for data on his lifestyle.
Yes.
He may not be in a position to have a committed relationship.
Yes.
But you want to know.
Yes.
So that's a where did you go message.
Okay.
The requirement with the where did you go is that you had a good time on the last known date. Did you?
Yes.
You're not aware of anything going on other than you ignored him on a couple of requests?
No, I couldn't go. He invited me to go see him, and then COVID stopped everything. So I didn't ignore it. It just couldn't happen.
I got it. So what you're saying, things happened, and he knows that.
Yes.
You sent him a message, I can't do that because.
Yes.
Okay. Therefore, this would be a good time to try to build a bridge back to him based on good experiences with him, but not hearing from him and wanting to know, so you can either put a cap on the bottle and go on with other things, or you can signal him that you're available.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Is that it? Is that what you want today?
Well, yes. I have let other men ask me out. I just do not enjoy their company the same way.
I'm telling you, I got it that he was a valuable date.
Okay.
He helped you with the problem. That's the sign of a gentleman. They give, they protect, and they cherish us.
Yes.
So
okay.
You've had things happen which interfere with your logistics. So open the doors up.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, caller. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see what we've got going on here, Dr. Pat. Okay. So here's a question from our Facebooker. Lots of Facebook fans out there, and they're getting anxious with us. So we're going to ask a question. I am a masculine male, and I had a girlfriend for 3 years. She decided that things weren't going the way she wanted them to. Apparently, I wasn't doing something right. So she's been gone now for quite some time, about 3 months. And I want to know if you can tell me how to write a hi bye letter, or if it's too late.
Not too
That's
late.
A good question. Is it ever too late for the hi bye letter, Dr. Pat?
No, I have hi bye letters going from high school romances, colleges, situation.
Wow.
When you are bonded chemically to somebody, you are in effect within that dangerous passion, but jealous and wanting contact. It's an
right.
unfinished relationship. So I want to describe the hi bye letter.
Oh, I love it.
Here's what it's for. If you're a woman and you have inadvertently terminated somebody who became more valuable as time went by without him, that's one. Or if you're a man that didn't want a committed relationship and the woman said pass, if for any reason you're unfinished with somebody, straight, gay, or lesbian, everything I teach is suitable for men and women who want to be in a virtuous relationship with another human being, and we work out the boundaries. So if you're still in love with somebody from high school or college, this is what a hi bye letter does. Paragraph one is all that you remember that was fun. You may have only dated 5 times and then moved away. It's all of the things that you liked about that person when you met, the beginning. The second paragraph is the pain of it falling apart. Now, if you ended it, then you have to say, I made a mistake when I ended it to go with Joe Blow because he was not as good as you. But I couldn't find where you were. So the second paragraph is basically the pain of not having this person in your life, either because they left or you left them. The third paragraph of this high bye letter is, if you're a woman, you say, I don't want to not hear from you. I want to know what's happening in your world. And if you're free to consider sharing time with me, great. And paragraph four is, I do not want to continue missing you and not acting on it. This letter is me telling you that I would love to talk with you, meet with you, to find out where we're at with each other. That is paragraph three. So paragraph four is basically, thank you for reading this letter and considering talking on the phone. Here's my number. Here's my address. About where you're at, and I'll tell you where I'm at. I fully understand that you may be married, you may not be available, but I want to know it so I'm free to find someone like you to relate to. So paragraph one is everything you like. Paragraph two is the pain of not having you. Paragraph three is, I don't want to be living my life without finding out what happened. Paragraph four, thank you for thinking, reading this, and thinking of answering me. You see?
I do.
Are you willing to do that?
Mm-hmm. You need a sip of soda or something, Dr. Pat?
If you want me to evaluate what you've written, then call my office and book 15 minutes to evaluate the letter.
Yeah, we do that. We have these special appointments called the High Bye Letter Appointments, and you reach out via email to info@drpatallen.com. That's drpatallen.com. And say you would like a High Bye Letter review and critique. And then Dr. Pat will be able to, Sue will set that appointment up, and you'll connect to go over your letter with Dr. Pat Allen, the truly the creator of the High Bye Letter. So right from the source of clear, clean water right there.
So all right, yeah. What do you want to do that or not?
He is saying, yes, I wanted to do it. I wasn't sure of the format. For a man to a woman, now I understand it. I'm going to write the letter. I've tried to start it many times, but I think I have a pathway now. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Good. Okay, so, excellent.
Okay, so we have somebody here who is saying, I'm trying to use your tools at work. I am in an executive position, but I have other lateral executives and a couple of executives above me. I want to know how the tools will translate into business. Can you explain that, Dr. Allen?
Yeah, the five tools, I might as well just give the five tools that are part of my doctoral work.
Oh, yeah, let's hear them.
When you're doing business with someone, you're not doing romance. That is illegal. That's what's getting people in trouble today. So the first thing you do when you are with someone at work, whether you're straight or gay, because people that are gay are chemically attracted to people of the same sex. I'm just saying that work is work. And you don't, many companies don't allow their clients or their employees to date within the company, which I think is pretty smart. Because when you mix business and pleasure, it can get very, very messy. And losing your career or your job is not the best. So the first thing is, I don't advise people to date people at work. If it's a serious interest, change jobs. If it's not a serious interest, then express your concern and get permission to date from your direct supervisor. Many companies have rules about dating, so find out what the rules for your company is. I don't know whether it's your company, but find out whether it's allowed for you to date. Then do not be romantic during business hours. You can meet for lunch, that's a date. But I'd rather you had lunch away from the office. Do you see? So
yeah.
Business only. Unless you're having off-campus lunch dates. Do not take business time inappropriately. For example, don't take an hour for lunch if your contract is a half an hour lunch, whatever it is. In other words, do not steal business time for your relationship. Then the tools for work are the following. People that are working want respect. So when you want to do business with them, you make an appointment to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question them about something. You make an appointment, just like anybody at work. You talk to the secretary, or you write the note or the text, want to talk to you for half an hour or half, whatever it is. Are you available this afternoon? Very businesslike. When in doubt, respect is appropriate at work. Cherishing is after working hours. So make an appointment to do business. Don't presume any special treatment because your girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever. So that's that one. If you have a problem negotiating a deal, go to your superior and let them moderate your disagreement. Don't fight it out on your own. If it's a big enough company, they have an H&R person there that is there to serve you when you get into an emotional situation at work. So business is business, and pleasure is not business. Even if you are dating or married, remember, someone is paying for your time to be devoted to business. Okay?
Yeah. And they're saying, is this amigo talk?
What?
They're asking,
yes,
if this
amigo talk. Right.
Amigo talk. So they're saying, can you give an example of how you would make an approach when something's not going right with one of the tools like amigo talk? Something like,
okay,
you have to,
well, remember,
you have to,
like, remember,
okay,
at work we are all respected. We
mm-hmm.
ask for what we want and say what we think, and we ask the person we're with what they want and what they think and cut a deal. Work is not a place to be emotional. If you're too emotional to be private, then get somebody in your business to see. And the first thing that you say is, you had a right to do this, say this, be this, but I want to negotiate changing the boundaries. So it's I want, which is business. Not,
right.
I feel bad. I don't feel cherished. That's for marriage counseling. That is not for business.
Right, right.
So you bring up the situation unless you need a witness, and then you either go to H&R or you go to somebody geared for that at your company.
Right, if you can't settle it.
If you can't settle it between you by saying, I want to talk to you about something that happened yesterday with blank, blank, whatever it was. Is it convenient sometime today for us to get together? And then set it up. If it's not convenient, then set it up with somebody that has permission to give you permission to take business time to do it.
Right. Which is typically in the interest of the company.
Yes. So, and then you hopefully write down what you want and what you don't want so that you don't forget. And then you negotiate.
Yeah, it can get kind of charged in one of those meetings. You lose track if you don't have your note sheet.
That's right. So keep notes, take notes, and use them in the meeting.
Yeah,
just
that's
remember,
funny because I actually take your diagrams for the tool I'm going to use, and then what I do is I make a copy. And then I write my points, so I have the diagram there with me with my points. And it's very calming because I'm like, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to click through these points. I know exactly what tool I'm using, and it's all good.
That keeps your emotions under control.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that and a rubber band.
Okay.
So
do we have anything else we can answer?
No, we don't, because we are out of time. We are going to have to go. What do you have to say before we do?
The what?
We're out of time. What do you have to say before we go?
The way out of any negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have, or what do I have that I don't want? followed by action or inaction.
As soon as possible. I love that. Hey, everybody, I want to remind you all, get on that waiting list. You're going to reach out to info@drpatallen.com. Anything you want to connect with us, that's the name you're going to go to. That's going to be the high violator critique. That's going to be signing up for our Zoom groups. And if you want to see that free video, go to www.drpatallen.com. You'll see it right there on the front page. It's about communications and relationship. Okay. Until next week, we hope you're safe and we love you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.